IVM.
You're listening to the podcast presented by the Daily Pal.
This is Pranuti
and Amit.
And we're from the dailypow.com, a Bombay-specific culture and food website. And this is our weekly podcast, The Podcast. Now, on this episode, we have with us Fredun Medora and Ritika Jhunjhunwala. The two of them are with a textile consultancy called Itiha. And we're going to be talking to them about their work. This is an installment of The Scene, in which we talk about culture in the city. So stay tuned for The Scene.
The Scene.
So in this episode of The Scene, it's just Amit and me. We should mention that our partner Purva is missing in action. She's on holiday as usual. So we have with us Fredun Medora and Ritika Jhunjhunwala, who run a textile consultancy called Itiha. And so Fredun, you know, you founded Itiha, and you know, tell us about the idea behind it. And Itiha, before you start, I should mention that the reason we're talking to the two of them is that they run a series of workshops at the Bhavdaji Lad Museum and at places like Artisans. And
yeah, these are a gallery in Kala Ghoda.
Exactly. And these are craft workshops like the shibori, tie and dye, yes, gond painting, etc. And so this is the reason we're talking to these guys. So tell us how Itiha started.
So Ritika is in textiles, and she's doing this for the last 9 years. Mm-hmm. And she's a professor at Sophia's. And the whole idea started, well, we felt the folk art in India is kind of losing out. It's going in the background. And we felt it is necessary for those artisans who are there all over India, who have really good talent, and they need to be out there. They need to be somewhere seen. And it's not just them, it's the art form in itself.
Right.
The way they do it and how they actually create the art is important.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, in the modernization and all these other technological advances, the way the art is performed and the way the craft is done is lost.
Yeah.
So we felt that it is necessary that we take those. She has knowledge of it. I mean, it's her brainchild at the end of the day. And we needed to get this out. So last year, we set up a company, Itiha. And we felt that it should actually tie up with artisans and folk artists all across India. Get their talents into the mainstream, like Mumbai. Currently Mumbai, maybe later on other metros. And showcase those arts and teach them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel that teaching them and dispersing knowledge about the art, it has much more value and can sustain the art for a longer time than just talking about it. So teaching it is important, and we felt workshops are the right way to do it. And hence we started the workshops.
Yeah. So what is your background? I mean, are you sort of involved in textiles?
So I'm not, I don't have any textiles knowledge. I'm an entrepreneur,
okay.
Basically. My background is in entrepreneurship.
Uh-huh. You have a pharma company?
We have a pharma. We have a healthcare company.
Okay.
We are a group of companies. So we do healthcare. We do loads of other things.
Mm-hmm.
We do oral radiology. We do dentistry. We do lots of other things. And
but
that,
this is kind of like, I mean, fairly,
diverse.
Yes, it's fairly
that.
Diverse, but needed. Why? Because we have the same view of seeing to it that the people in India have a lot of talent, have a lot of perseverance, but no opportunity. So they can definitely do something. And this is relatively easier and simpler. You don't require degrees. You require talent, and that's it.
Yeah.
If you have talent and if you're taught of a particular skill, you can start it immediately.
Yeah.
It's not very capital intensive. It is not something that requires a certification of any sort. So why not?
Right. So, I mean, how do these workshops, how do they actually work? I mean, you get artisans from across the country. I mean, do you want to tell us about how you get in touch with them? Do you have a network of artisans?
Yeah. So we have tie-ups with more than 260 artisans across the country.
Okay.
What we do is we go and live with them first, learn the way they do it, mm-hmm. live the way they live, eat what they eat, learn the art completely, and then get them over here.
So you've done this.
So yeah.
Whatever. So give us an example. Where have
For
you gone?
For example, last month we were in Rajasthan.
Mm-hmm.
We were researching on natural dyes and how block printing works, the resist style of block printing works.
Mm-hmm.
After our visit to Rajasthan, we got the artist here for 7 days where he was a part of the Art and Textile Week, which we had at Artist Center. And we had more than 150 people who participated in the Art and Textile Week, where they could benefit from the artist who taught them natural dyes, block printing resist style, block printing direct style. So plus since they were from Rajasthan, he's very, very good at bandhani and all mm-hmm. of that. So we teach Shibori. He could give a little sense of bandhani to the crowd
right.
that came in.
Right.
So this is how we do. So I have myself been to Shri Kalahasti also. Where
is this?
This is one and a half hour from Tirupati.
Okay.
And it's very, very well known for Kalamkari.
Right.
And I've learnt under Mr. Gurappa Chetty.
Okay.
And then now there is an artist called Niranjan who's Gurappa Chetty's son. He comes to teach for Ritiha.
Right.
So we have people who are very well known. Gurappa Chetty ji is a Padma Shri mm-hmm. and his son is also a national award winning artist.
Okay.
So we first learn it ourselves, right. understand the thing and then get it here. So people get the right essence, the correct, they learn it from the right hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your own background with textile?
So I am a textile designer. I've done my textile designing from Sophia's. After that, I did my retail management from NIFT. And a lot of it is self-learned. So,
right.
Yeah.
But so how do you approach these guys? I mean, since it's, you know, you want to go and, like, you have to have this network. You go and live with them, you know, what is that process like?
So whenever I go somewhere on a leisure trip also, mm-hmm. I see to it that I get in touch with the local artists mm-hmm. over there. Speak to them, talk to them, get in touch with them, and then tie up, and then next time when I go for work.
Okay.
This is how we get in touch with the artists.
And what has the response been so far to your workshops? I mean, are people eager to learn?
Yeah. And is it, what kind of like skill level? Because some of these things, and I don't know whether I read it somewhere in an interview you guys had done, that these are not sort of casual things. You need to be sort of serious about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you
know, like Kalamkari, for example, is a fairly skilled.
Yeah, and they're fairly skilled, intricate things. So firstly, like, who are these targeted at? And like, what has been the response?
So yeah, response has been phenomenal. It's awesome. People from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. We had the youngest one was, I think, about 4.5 years old, and the eldest one was about 92.
Yeah.
92. And we have from all walks of life, mm-hmm. Everywhere across Mumbai. Some people come in from Pune. Some people come in from different cities. They call us, think, hey, can you make it here? Or we have requests coming in from all over India, actually, right now, saying that, why don't you, we have a cafe, we have a place, mm-hmm. take a 20-day workshop here. So the response has been good.
Mm-hmm.
The skill set that you say depends on what kind of workshop it is. Like, we have these general, just do-it-yourself kind of workshops, mm-hmm. and those workshops are simple. You, me, anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. It's fun, and once you start doing it, and it lasts for what, about from 2 hours to, say, 7 hours.
So those are the ones you've been typically doing?
Those are the ones we are doing.
Balaji.
We also have a 2-day, 3-day course on like certain things like leather, mm-hmm. Batik and Kalamkari, for example. You need not be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You need not be somebody who is a professional painter. But you should be somewhat interested in what is being taught, because we do a lot of theory as well.
And by theory, you're talking about, you know, the history of the craft.
Just history of the craft, the way it's done, the techniques which are relevant to what is going to be taught in the next 2 days, and why.
Mm-hmm.
Why they're doing what they're doing. That is most important.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't understand why they have to do how they will never learn to experiment. And that is what we encourage people to do.
And I guess maybe one of the reasons why these workshops are so popular and we've been listing them with increasing frequency.
You started doing them when? In December last year? When?
We started our kind of official workshop in November end.
Okay.
But we used to take, I believe in the learning curve and she believes in the learning curve. Mm-hmm. So first we didn't put it out there. Mm-hmm. We started a group of people. We got it. We learned ourselves, saw where our hiccups come, how to operate them. And then we promoted them actively from November last year.
Okay. Well, tell us about your design consultancy and how that's connected with the workshops.
So, ETHIA is actually like a three-pronged thing. One is the workshops, and we get together people and artists. Second is design consultancy, where we give designs to whoever wants to buy, and we have this set of things, because ETHIA has to be, workshops in itself are not very revenue generation as well. So the designs goes to anyone who wants to buy, and those designs are kind, you can link them to whatever you want. So if you want a Gaunt specific design, or you want a Die and Die specific design, and you can have this entire, like a set of 20 designs, a set of 50 designs.
But
or so.
These designs are all Indian designs. I mean, there's
not. I mean, a design is a design, not necessarily Indian origin arts. Of it can be anything. It can be abstract. It can be psychedelic. It can be anything.
Okay. So it depends on what the client wants. It
depends on what the client wants. Depends on the end use of the design. Mm-hmm. If it's for a fabric which goes in a hotel, and there's a design according to that, and which goes on school bags, different designs. So definitely different from different. And our third prong, which is related to design consultancy and workshops, is the way we set up manufacturing for people who are interested.
Okay.
We set up. Mm-hmm. So how we do that is we give them the idea, we ideate and say that, hey, this is how you do your whatever you intend to do. So if they want to set up something for Tie and Dye, and if you want to, they want to have their own range of dresses, and they want to do it. So we tell them that if you want to do it the original way to do it, this is the equipment you need, this is how you want to set up, this is how you can do it. And we connect the artist and say, hey, you can train. The artist earns, the client gets his setup, and the client actually gets something which is authentic, which is not processed, you know. So that is what we do. So that is how all three connect. We need the design consultancy to get in touch with people who want to also get into touch manufacturing. Manufacturing, once it sets up, it gets those artisans from all across who do not have an avenue. So many companies buy things from artisans and from folk artists and everything, and they don't pay them well.
Right.
They're just like small vendors. But when they sell them, they have this handmade, made by a tribal in India. And it's very hypocritical, but that's how it goes. So we kind of want to get into that, and where it's fair. Actually, not just fair trade logo on it or a safe, it's actually fair for the artisans. Yeah. Hey, man, yeah, take.
You were also talking about an NGO that you work with.
Yeah. So it's a foundation, and it's called Inkling India. And
this is a foundation that you run.
Yes.
Okay.
And it teaches basically how it connects to ETHIA and how it connects to the concept is that we feel children do not have their opportunity to learn. Parents can hardly impoverished backgrounds, they can hardly put them in school, forget anything, they don't even give them footwear. So if a child is really good in, say, tabla, but the child has never touched a tabla, never seen one, so how will it know it's good at? So probably even graduate, get a job, and stagnate. And so basically everybody talks about Skill India and skill this and skill that, but finding the skill and developing the skill, nobody has any vague idea. I mean, nobody has any idea. Forget vague. So we set up a group of, say, about 50 students, and we teach them arts and crafts, speech, drama, diction. We teach them music, and music is about, say, tabla, keyboard, and guitar. And we teach them everything. So we have the 6-month course for these, each batch of 50 students, where they're taught everything from Monday to Saturday, 2 hours in the evening. And they're taught everything. So out of then the teacher then picks out, saying that, hey, I think you're good in speech and drama. I think you're good in arts and crafts. I think you're good in this instrument. So it gives an inkling to the child and says, hey, I may be good at it. Mm-hmm. So the next part, the child knows that now that I'm kind of good at it, then we can actually, if we have a group of students, we can tailor make and enhance those skills. In the future, we intend to even empower them, that we can give them some micro loans and ask them to start something they're good at. And that can be gone, that can be batik, that can be tie and dye.
Yeah.
And tie and dye is very famous because it's very easy.
Right.
There is no, fixed technique to it. So that kind of answers your question. But so for these kids, then they have avenues, opportunities. And by the time they develop, grow up, even Ethia will grow, even Inkling will grow, and they will be able to connect children to what they may be good at.
So, and do you all work with any particular municipal schools for this, or how do you all sort of reach out?
So basically, we started in a school, St. Joseph in Wadala, and we had 3 students initially, and through word of mouth, and then we had to stop admissions in a week.
Okay. So now you have about 50 students.
Yeah, we have 50 students, yeah.
Great. So that's it for this week. Thanks so much,
thanks for being on the show.
Ritika and Fedun. And we'll be back next week.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thanks. For more on what's happening in the city, read thedailypow.com. Also, subscribe to our newsletter on the website. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're The Daily Pow. And you can find this podcast every Monday on the IVM podcast app or any other podcasting app that you prefer, and on thedailypow.com.